Welcome to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives, hosted by Reverend Otley Holmes, Senior Pastor of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church in Mesa, Arizona, where our vision is touching hearts and changing lives by the power of His Word, Luke 4, 18 and 19. Our mission is to go ye therefore and teach all nations, Matthew 28, 19 and 20. Now, please join us in a study of the Word of God.
Welcome once again to Touching Hearts and Changing Lives. This is Pastor Holmes, your host, and as I always love saying, it is my privilege and my pleasure to be back amongst my listening audience once again as we study together the Word of God. I'm so thankful that God allots this time that we can come together for the study of His Word, and I pray now that you have been enriched as I have been enriched, because every time I open the Word of God, I realize I'm coming into the presence of God, reading His love letter to mankind. But as always, let us approach the throne of grace. Our Father and our God, once again, we thank you, Lord, for this time together to study your word. We pray now, Lord, that we ask the Holy Spirit, who is our master teacher, to come now and have control with your servant. Father, feed me that I might feed your people. Lord, that we might glorify together your holy and righteous name. We love you with a whole heart, realizing, Father, that thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We ask this all in Jesus' name and for his name's sake. Amen. Well, if you have been tuning in, last week we ended in the 11th chapter at verse 18, and we're going to pick it up there again and continue on in our verse-by-verse exposition of the book of Acts. Amen? And I just love this book. I'm just so thankful for this book, because as I said periodically throughout these broadcasts, that this book of Acts is what I use as a barometer for the health of my church that God has made me the shepherd of. And it also is a guide to what the church ought to be doing. And as we have studied this verse 11, the first 18 verses, we find that Peter was back up in Jerusalem and had some people come and contend with him and accuse him of being a friend of the Gentiles. And we established the fact that because the fledging church, this new church, was predominantly Jewish, that many of the Jews had not allowed their hearts to be fully changed. And in other words, they had not let go of their rituals and their traditions. And for centuries, Gentiles had been opposed by the Jews. Now God is showing them in a miraculous way how that door is open, and there's no longer distinction, because the Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. So there's no longer Jew nor Gentile. It is a brand new community made up of Jews, Gentiles, and to God's glory. Amen? Amen. So in verse 18, he says, and when they heard these things, they held their peace, glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. The church's response to God's will was the conviction of a worldwide mission. So now the Lord's promise was fulfilled in the Gentiles. The Gentiles were being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Peter was convinced of another truth, that he could not withstand and stand against God. And that's what he said to them. He said to them previously in the verses, when he rehearsed the vision that God had given him about receiving all men in, he said, who am I to withstand God? Who am I to change God's plan? Who am I to stand against the Almighty One? So he realized that, and it says, and it is not circumcision that saves us. It's not some ritual or some ceremony, not religion, but belief that caused the Holy Spirit to enter into a life. Now, we must make sure that when we present the gospel to someone, that we are not presenting rituals and traditions. We must make sure that they fully understand who Jesus Christ is, and when they ask Christ in as Lord and Savior of their lives, that they are sealed to the day of redemption by the power of the Spirit, because the Spirit now indwells in them. And we must realize also that repentance is the gift of God and of the Holy Spirit. Now let's pick it up, verse 19. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were the men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. So now we can see that God himself, through his word, is beginning to tell us how the Bible was only spreading to the Jews, but there were now a few now that were beginning to take it into the Gentile world. That salvation now had come unto the Gentiles, and there was no distinction that should be withheld from Jew to Gentile, as I said earlier. So this is a marvelous, wondrous work of the Lord God Almighty. And I said last week in our broadcast, and I need to say it again, that Sunday morning sometimes is the most segregated hour in our country, where we come together culturally in our churches, but we do so because it's convenient to do so. But many times we make people who are not culturally alike to feel uncomfortable. Now, you may go to a church because you like the hymns. You may go to the church because you like the liturgy. You might go to the church because you like the hip-hop gospel message. But whoever comes into the church must feel welcome into the body of Christ, because it is not our worship styles that make a distinction from one another. It's who Jesus Christ is that makes us inclusive to one another. And we should never exclude anybody because of a different nationality. They should be able to come in and feel welcome. Now, we all know the truth of the matter is that we're going to go that with like people. So if you have a contemporary gospel church, you probably go to that church, but make sure it's a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. Amen. Amen. Let's look a little further in verse 21. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. So we now see that the church is beginning to follow the mandate that God had given. Listen to what Matthew chapter 22, verse 9 says. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. And then, because we know that Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20 says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So we know that the Great Commission is to go and teach the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So that is the mission and the mandate of the church. And as the church does not follow that mission and mandate, we are in all actuality grieving the Holy Spirit. And that's not a proper thing for a child of God to do. But I'm sorry, my brothers and sisters, I just need to kind of say this. Sometimes our churches have become so infocused that we spend more time disagreeing about personal preferences rather than building the kingdom of God. We always have to be outwardly focused, and the church is to give itself away. The church is to reach out to the lost, the downtrodden, the broken, and the bruised. Amen. So when we look at verses 19 through 30, we see that this passage comes as one of the most significant events in history. It's the founding of the first great Gentile church. So let me just kind of read the rest of these verses, and then we'll just spend the rest of the time expounding on them as much time as it allows. Then tidings, verse 22, of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, and with purpose of the heart that they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the church. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him into Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And in these days came the prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch, and there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it by the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Now we find that the church is now being founded in these verses 19 through 21. The church was born through lay believers, if you will, and now the church was being supported by the laity, if you will. It was no longer this hierarchy of the priest, because we know that as born-again believers, and particularly as Baptists, we believe in the priesthood of the believer. The church was born through the hand of the Lord by his sovereignty, and it is under his control. God overruled all the trials and opposition and caused the church to be born. In other words, when Jesus said that ye shall be my witnesses, the church started building in Jerusalem where it was first founded, but it got complacent and comfortable in Jerusalem, and God allowed persecution to come to spread his church out, because, again, the mission of the church is to spread the gospel throughout the world. God overruled the fear and the trauma of the believers that had been fleeing for their lives. Now, he's given them a home and friends and businesses. He was establishing their faith. He was growing them in their faith, and things were beginning to happen to the glory of God. And I'm so thankful that God was doing these things. So we find now that Barnabas is seeking after Saul from Tarsus because he understood that he needed somebody that was rooted and grounded in the Jewish faith, that he could be able to make the converts, if you will, from Judaism into Christianity, that he could bridge that gap, that he could bring a certain credence to the teaching that those Jews who had not received Jesus Christ could understand that Jesus Christ truly is and was their Messiah. Amen. So we see this great move, and then they spent a great deal of time in their teaching. So one of the things that the church must always remember, it's about intensive teaching. It's about getting people into the Word of God, because we know it's the Word of God that transforms hearts and minds. Well, my brothers and sisters, I'm going to have to hold it up there, and we'll pick this up again next week. But I just would invite you to come and visit with us on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. For Bible study, and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. for Sunday school, and 11 a.m. for worship service. And you can always check us out on the web at www.smbcmesa.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you is my prayer. Pray for me as I pray for you. I hope and pray that your week will be blessed and you become a blessing to your church. God bless. See you again next week.
Touching Hearts and Changing Lives radio program is an outreach ministry of Shiloh Missionary Church and is hosted by Reverend Otley W. Holmes, Jr., Senior Pastor. Please join us every Saturday evening at 7 p.m. on KXXT 1010. We're located at 56 South Robson Mesa, Arizona, 85210. And it's right on the corner of Robson and First Avenue in downtown Mesa. Service times are Wednesday evening prayer meeting, 5:30 to 7 p.m., and Bible study, 7 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Sunday morning, Sunday school 9 a.m. Worship service is at 11 a.m. For more information, call 480-844-2687 or email sbchurch1011@quest.net. Be sure to log on to the website www.smbcmesa.org. This program has been sponsored by the membership of Shiloh Missionary Baptist Church.